Greetings, Chicagoland. Thank you for tuning in to the weekly program, Building Community, Strengthening Nations, based on improving lives through public service and volunteerism. Today's presentation is brought to you by the Forum to Achieve Altruism, Compassion, and Tolerance, the FACT organization, with more than a 75-year legacy of promoting peace, harmony, equality, and social justice for all. Building Community, Strengthening Nations features newsmakers and movers and shakers engaged in enlightening discussions on current issues and events that positively impact our diverse communities. The FACT organization invites you to contact us for general information or referral services, volunteer opportunities, and suggestions, questions, or comments regarding programming topics and guests. Please call FACT at 773-424-8002 to reach our 24-hour voicemail and facsimile. Our email address is faactorg@aol.com. Now tell your friends to tune in to FACT every Tuesday evening at 7:30 p.m. We're streaming live over the internet at www.thechicagolighthouse.org. My name is Ruth M. Fairfax Frazier. I am the founder and executive director of the FACT organization, and today I am so pleased to serve as your host. FACT is always excited about this opportunity to share time with you, our most valued listening public, with different weekly topics of interest that positively influence our communities. However, as we always say, this can only be accomplished with your help. The fact is, we all need each other, and by uniting our efforts, we can make a positive difference for everyone. In a nutshell, FACT's combined vision and mission is to help create a better world through educating the public and coalescing with others to eradicate biases and prejudices, as well as hate crimes. Chicagoland, we have a very exciting program for you today, and we have two esteemed guests joining us. We have one on our live line and one here in studio, and I'm going to have them both introduce themselves. Let's begin with you, Patricia.
Good afternoon. Ruth, thank you for having me. My name is Patricia Andrews-Keenan, and I am the media and PR director for the African Festival of the Arts, and I'm very pleased to be here with you.
And our live line guest today is
your gospel sister, Pam Morris. Pam Morris Walton. I am a board member of the African Festival of the Arts, and I am a radio host on WVON Radio, the talk of Chicago, 1690.
Well, Pam, let's start off with you telling us a little bit about your illustrious background.
Well, what can I say? I'm retired from the city of Chicago after a little over 20 and a half years of as a festival coordinator and project manager in the Mayor's Office of Special Events. I am author of Lessons Learned from Aunt Mabel, a little short story that I wrote and was published several years ago about an incredible aunt that helped make me the woman I am. And I'm a radio host who loves the opportunity to inspire, uplift, and encourage people every opportunity I get on Sundays from 11 to 2 p.m. on WVON.
Wonderful. And WVON is one of our favorite sister stations, and we're just so happy that you could call in and join our audience today. So let's start off with a little bit of the background of the African International House.
Okay.
All right. Patricia, are you going to take lead on that, or you want me to?
Well, why don't you start, Pam, and tell them, because you are a board member from Africa International House, and I did want your audience to know that Africa International House programs all year long. The festival, the African Festival of the Arts, is just one of those programs. So I'd love for Pam to talk about what it's like to be a board member for Africa International House.
It's actually wonderful. Thank you, Patricia, for this opportunity, because the African International House operates all year long. And in speaking of that, let me just say, if you want to be a contributor to the African International House, which helps us to put on great projects all year long, please feel free to do so. And Patricia will give you that information on how you can be a part of it, because being able to reach out into the community with positive programs all year long and then have the African Festival of the Arts in Washington Park during the Labor Day weekend is a wonderful a plus for us. I am honored and humbled to be able to be a board member and be in, some would use the word influential, but let's just say having the opportunity to be a part of something so great, so good, and so ongoing for the community at large.
And the wonderful thing, this is my first year working with the African Festival of the Arts, and it's just been so enlightening to be a part of such a great family. The African Festival itself, this is the 26th year of the festival. It got its start at a shop called Windows to Africa. Many of your listeners might be familiar with that. A shop on 53rd Street in Hyde Park. Patrick Wautour, his wife Dee Palmer Wautour, founded the festival, and it has just grown and grown. Now it is creating an entire African village in Washington Park each Labor Day weekend. We'll be there from the 4th through the 7th. We operate each day from 10 in the morning till 10 at night. Pam told you a little bit about Africa International House and its overarching programs. The festival itself, I find the beginning of that very interesting. Patrick Wautour, he and his wife Dee founded the festival 26 years ago. Patrick is a Liberian-born business leader, and he and his wife owned a place in Hyde Park called Windows to Africa. And they actually came up with the idea for the festival while running that shop. It had been a lot of different places on the South Side during that time, but it's been in Washington Park for a number of years, just to show you the growth and the interest in bringing all these different African cultures together and being in the park and actually recreating an African village there in Washington Park over the Labor Day weekend. So it's just a wonderful experience and place to be.
And, you know, our audience draws from the greater metropolitan Chicago area. So can you give them a landmark for finding Washington Park?
Oh, certainly. The park itself, the main entrance to the festival is at 51st and Cottage Grove. I always find, because there's the Walgreens right across the street from the entrance to the park. The Armory is there as well, which is a great landmark. Walgreens is a great landmark because you can also buy discounted tickets at Walgreens for the festival. And they're available now right through till the 6th of August. So again, a main drag through the city, Cottage Grove Avenue, 51st Street, and you can look for both the Armory and Walgreens as a landmark.
And also, let me just add to what Patricia has said, Ruth, and saying public transportation works. Oh. And it's a great way to step off of the bus or however like that and get there and enjoy a safe place, a family-friendly atmosphere in light of all of the violence and things that are going on in the city of Chicago and surrounding areas. The gathering at the African Festival of the Arts this weekend, Friday through Monday, is giving you a glimpse of Africa without traveling on an airplane for 12 hours. And it's less than the cost of applying for a passport. It really is. It's the place to be this weekend.
And, you know, over the years, the festival has attracted so many participants. What would you say, Patricia, an estimate of how many people come out each year?
Wow, each year it's anywhere from 150,000 to 200,000 people. And I know you were talking about the Chicagoland region, but when you look at the participants, the vendors, the different people that will be there, they come from all over the country. It's a great destination for, you know, our area, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, Wisconsin, but some of our vendors come from Africa, so, and most of them come from all over the United States. I was talking to some of our folks, and there are people that have been coming to the festival for all of its existence and coming from New York and Africa and Detroit and, you know, just L.A. So they come from all over the country, and they look at this as a great opportunity to be in front of this wonderful crowd.
Yes, they come from
all. And I have to add, too, Patricia Roof, if you'll allow me, not only with the 300 vendors that will be there for 4 days, the entertainment with the Stepping Under the Stars on Friday night with Ken Bedford and incredible people. You go into Saturday's African Beats with Montu Dance Theater on stage. And then Sunday, you've got Teresa Griffin. You've got comedian Ron Baker, who was influenced by the late Bernie Mac. You have Tammy McCann. It just goes on and on and on. And then Joan Colosso. What can I say about the jazz soul singer, incredible lady of timeless gifts, Joan Colosso. And closing out the stage on Monday night, Ruth, is, go ahead and say it, Patricia.
Jeffrey Osborne, Mr. Woo 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 himself.
And I'm gospel, but boy, do I know his song.
Oh, wow.
Very nice.
Well, Pam, we just want our audience to know that we are playing the music of
Joan Colosso as a background to this interview today. And what I brought is her latest CD, which is called My Heart Speaks. And the way I've heard Joan describe this, these are some of the songs that are nearest and dearest to her. A lot of originally done lyrics here. So we're hoping that the audience enjoys hearing My Heart Speaks by Joan Colosso. And we'll come out to hear her do some of these selections live.
Well, you know,
that's
in
right.
addition...
And, oh, wait, one more minute. I left out New Direction. The gospel choir is singing at 6:40 on Sunday. You know, I'm gospel now. I've got to tell you about Percy Gray and New Direction.
Okay.
Yeah. And Pam's going
Sorry
to be
about
actually...
that.
Pam will actually
ahead,
be
Ruth.
Broadcasting.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I'm quite excited about this weekend. I really am.
Now, Pam is going to be broadcasting live. WVON is one of the media sponsors for the African Festival of the Arts, has been almost since the beginning, and she will be on the grounds broadcasting live on Sunday. From what time is it, Pam?
I will be on live from 11 to 2, and I'm excited that my husband, Frank Walton of Gospel 860 AM in Phoenix and Seattle Radio, will be co-hosting with me.
Wow.
Well, now you can't beat that. You get two for the price of one. Two great broadcasters, gospel
I
broadcasters.
I like that. Two for the price of one.
Yes.
Trish, I love you.
Well, we
we're going to be pulling the people in, talking about it. But once, let me say this. It begins on Friday at 10 o'clock. It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, Rue, from 10 until 10 p.m. $15 in advance, $20 at the gate, seniors $10, $5 for children 12 and under. And as you heard Patricia say earlier, you can go to Walgreens and get tickets today.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, we certainly want everyone to come out to this fantastic event. And Patricia, I'd like you to walk through the experience for our audience. There will be different vendors there, but it's also set up as a village. Can you explain
exactly.
that to us?
Yes, again, I told you this is my first year being behind the scenes. So for me to learn so much about this event was so exciting. So literally, it is put together to recreate an African village. All of the different areas are named for different parts of the continent. We have Nubia. Nubia is the fine arts section of the park where you can get some amazing art, custom done pieces that you will find nowhere else in the world. Kush is another part of Africa, and in that section of the park you will find the wearable arts. I was able to see some of the hand-painted items that have come through over the years, and they are just amazing. Songhay, in that area you're going to find African arts, crafts, collectibles. And I know everybody like me is waiting to get some shea butter. So all those natural products, the soaps, the butters, the body washes, you can find in the Songhay area.
Hey, you and Africa.
What is Africa to me? In 1925, Harlem Renaissance poet County Cullen wrote, "What is Africa to me? Copper sun or scarlet sea? Jungle star or jungle track? Strong bronzed men or regal black? Women from whose loins I sprang when the birds of Eden sang." And now, more than 77 years later, black people across the globe continue to ponder, "What is Africa to me?" I'm Richard Steele. In our search to answer Cullen's central question, "What is Africa to me?" we talk with several prominent Americans who share their personal stories about visiting Africa, living in Africa, and discovering what Africa means to them. Stay with us. What is Africa to Me? Radio series is a public educational project of Africa International House, made possible by funding exchange, the Paul Robeson Fund for Independent Media. On this edition of What is Africa to Me, Dr. Margaret Burroughs, graphic artist, educator, and co-founder of Chicago's DuSable Museum of African American History. Dr. Burroughs started her story by reading from a poem she wrote many years ago that described the beauty of being black and the relevance of having African ancestry.
What should I tell my children who are black? Of what it means to be a captive in this dark skin? What shall I tell my dear ones, the fruit of my womb, of how beautiful they are when everywhere they turn, they are faced with hatred of everything that is black? Villains are black with black hearts. A black cow gives no milk. A black hen lays no eggs. Bad news comes bordered in black. Mourning clothes are black. Black is evil, they say. Evil is black, and devil's food cake is black. All that is bad is black. What shall I tell my dear ones who have been raised in a white world? A place where white has been made to represent all that is good and pure and fine and decent. Where clouds are white and dolls and heaven surely is a white, white place filled with angels robed in white. And cotton candy and ice cream and milk and ruffled Sunday dresses and dream houses and long, sleek Cadillacs. And angel's food cake is white. All that is good is white. What can I say, therefore, when my black child comes home to me in tears, frustrated and rejected because a playmate identical to himself has called him black, big-lipped, flat-nosed, and nappy-headed? I hope he will feel strengthened and reassured when I dry his tears and whisper, "Yes, that's true. You are black, and you are just as worthwhile and dear as anyone." How shall I lift up his head and get him to square his shoulders, to look his adversary straight in the eye, confident in the knowledge of his worth, aware of his historic heritage, serene under his sable skin, and proud of his own beauty? What can I do to give my children the strength that they may come through life's adversities as whole and humane human beings, unwarped in a world full of biased laws and inhuman practices? What must I do to ensure that each and every one of them might survive? And survive they must, for who knows? Perhaps some one of my black children here may possess the genius to discover the cure for cancer, or the brilliance to chart the course for the exploration of the universe. So they must survive. For the good of all humanity, they must and will survive. I have drunk deeply of late from the fountain of my black culture. I have sat at the knee of and learned from Mother Africa. I have discovered the truth of my heritage, the truth which has been so often obscured and omitted, and I find that I have much to say to all of my black children. I will lift up their heads in proud blackness and tell them the story of their fathers and their fathers' fathers. And I shall take them into a way back time of kings and queens who ruled the Nile and raised the pyramids, who measured the stars, who discovered the laws of mathematics, who developed music, medicine, and the law. Further, I will tell them of our ancestors and industrious black people upon whose backs have been built the wealth of three continents, Europe, Africa, and America. And I will tell them of the black kingdoms of antiquity which flourished at a time when the then known world was but a desert, and of the cultural centers of Kush and Timbuktu, of Kano, Ghana, and Benin, and more.
You've made any number of trips to Africa, to the continent. Can you talk about your impressions of Africa on your very first trip in 1968? Where did you go? What was your first trip?
Ghana, naturally. I remember on the first trip, I was traveling with American Forum for African Study. That was an organization developed by Dr. Melvin Drimmer. And this was in 68, which was real close to the 70s, when the Black Pride movement was just beginning to emerge. And there were some black students who were on the trip, and they got out off the plane, and when they got out, they kissed the ground. They kissed the ground.
How did actually being there compare with what you thought about Africa before you made that first trip?
Well, for one thing, I found there were no jungles and monkeys swinging from trees and that Tarzan type of image about Africa, you know, which permeated the whole scene.
The countries that you have been to, and it might be a little difficult to come to a conclusion about that, but what place has made the most impact on you that really made more of an impression than others in terms of...
I really can't say, because each time I've gone to a country, maybe this two or three times, I see something different that I didn't see before, you know, that I didn't notice before. I learned something different. Just being on the African continent, I mean, and all the countries are different and their cultures are different, and I learned so much, you know. I like Egypt. I think the reason why I like Egypt is because people over there look just like us, especially when you get down the Nile River. People, you know, in complexion and everything like that. I found out also some interesting things that not all Africans who are born in Africa are black, you know, jet black like they tried to make us think, you know. In Nigeria, some people look like your color and my color and so forth, and they're Nigerian and they're not mixed, you know. I found out that there are different shades of black. Blue black, brown mm-hmm. black, yellow black, purple black, you know. And then you also see how beautiful black is.
How important is it for African Americans to be familiar with African culture? You know, there's a lot of back and forth about that. There are some people who are black conservatives who have said, what impact does that have? What
I think that every single African American, colored person, Negro, whatever you want to call them, should take at least one trip home. But not they will. We're not tourists. And just like the Irish, you know, have this idea of getting back to Ireland to just touch the ground, and they don't plan to stay there. They come on back, but just to touch the ground. And I think it's very important for us to do that. And when they do this, they would realize that we are not a minority, as this system has us believing. This system has us believing that we are a minority, so we act a minority. Your head's down and so forth. Well, we don't even stand up straight for our rights. And if you go home and you find that everybody in every country looks like you, that begins to strengthen you. The president looks like you. The head of the bank looks like you. The person that owns the businesses look like you. You know, that sort of straightens you up, you know, and you say, And you're trying to realize that when you come back here, you quit acting like a minority. You stand up and speak up for your rights and so forth and so on.
Dr. Margaret Burroughs talking about her reflections of Africa through her poetry and personal reflections. I'm Richard Steele.
Hey, you and the Africa.
What is Africa to Me radio series is made possible by Africa International House and funding exchange, the Paul Robeson Fund for Independent Media. For more information about the What is Africa to Me radio series, visit us on our website at www.windowtoafrica.com. The executive producer is Tashima Walker. Technical assistance from Chicago Public Radio, WBEZ. This radio series is dedicated to the memory of D. Palmer Woodter, co-founder of Chicago's annual African Festival of the Arts and Africa International House. I'm Richard Steele. The brilliant and enormously successful attorney, Johnny Cochran, known for his many major victories in criminal defense and civil litigation. I read in a newspaper article about you that you were in Soweto, and there were some Soweto in South Africa, and some children saw you. They broke into the song, the Johnny Cochran song. What's your relationship with the people, black South Africans?
Well, I think I have a good relationship with them. I've been to South Africa on a number of occasions now. Met with the justice minister, and I've been interested in their system. And, of course, I'm an unabashed fan of President Nelson Mandela when he was president. I was surprised that how the kids knew about me and my story or whatever when I got there. But I guess, you know, because of CNN, it's a different time that we live in, and it's pretty amazing. Africa is, you know, for us, the motherland. And so to the extent that we can assist or go back and renew our spirit, I think it's a place that all African Americans need to go back to and you know, see from whence we all came.
On a very personal level, in 1925, Harlem Renaissance poet County Cullen wrote a piece called What is Africa to Me? How would you answer that question today?
That it is the motherland, that it's the homeland, and that there is a...
For you.
For me, a source of strength. That the times I've gone to Africa, whether it be to Kenya or West Africa and going to Ghana, the door of no return. I mean, all African Americans should go and see where the slaves were taken out, and Gory Island, and started that trek across the middle passage across the Atlantic. It is, you can almost hear the voices resonating and the spirit of those who went before you. I tell you, it is a strengthening experience. And it's something that we all should have in our lives. You feel very special when you go to a place that was your homeland. You know, clearly. Now, America's my home now, no doubt about it. I don't want to leave America. But that was our original homeland. And to think about your ancestors is something very special.
Have you ever conferred with an African attorney of color just to talk about how the law works in their particular country? And do you have an African counterpart, a successful African lawyer with a stellar track record who wins a lot of cases, and he's the sort of Johnny Cochran of that particular country?
Well I had some dealings in Nigeria over the course of the last several years, and there's a couple of real fine young lawyers in Nigeria and Lagos who've represented clients and have done a very good job, and you know, everybody talks about that. Well, I'm the so-and-so of this, I'm the Johnny Cochran of Nigeria, and I'll just, you know, and that, I guess that's a compliment, and I think that everybody aspires to be the best they can be at their job wherever they are, and I found the same thing to be true in Lagos or Abuja or wherever you happen to be in Africa.
In your travels, and you just mentioned you've been to many countries, what aspects of the African culture do you find most appealing, culturally?
Whether it's
music or dress,
yeah, I think the spirit of the people. I think there's a certain spirit. If you see Africans sing or dance or express themselves, you see where African Americans got their sense from, and it's very interesting when you see that.
You can make the connection.
You can definitely see there's a real connection. It's not, you're not far removed, you know. Absolutely.
Have you had any dialogue with Africans about the pursuit for reparations by African Americans?
We've not had much. You know, I'm part of the team of Reparations Coordinating Committee, and we are just, we've talked tangentially about it, but I think ultimately we're going to have to kind of hook up that relationship between what we're trying to do here and how it all started over there.
What comes to mind, have you met Nelson Mandela?
Yes, I've met him, yes.
What comes to mind when you meet somebody like Nelson Mandela or Desmond Tutu, when you consider the struggle that they went through to gain freedom and dignity for fellow Africans, and through it all, these guys endured. I mean, how do you assess that when you think about it?
It's fabulous that they were without rancor and bitterness, the truth and reconciliation. They want to learn to live with other people, which I think is marvelous. I mean, I think they really have a great sense of who they are, and both Mandela and Desmond Bishop Tutu, marvelous human beings. They will tell you that they drew strength in their movement from what we were trying to do over here. They always say that, and I think that's encouraging for us. But I think we draw strength from them, and I think many times about when I think about Mandela spending 27 years at Robben Island, I think about Geronimo Pratt and in a similar situation. So I think they're marvelous human beings, and they're really, we should be very, very proud of them and their fights.
Attorney Johnny Cochran on what he feels is his relationship to the motherland and where we go from here. I'm Richard Steele. What is Africa to Me radio series is made possible by Africa International House and funding exchange, the Paul Robeson Fund for Independent Media. For more information about the What is Africa to Me radio series, visit us on our website at www.windowtoafrica.com. The executive producer is Tashima Walker. Technical assistance from Chicago Public Radio, WBEZ. This radio series is dedicated to the memory of D. Palmer Woodter, co-founder of Chicago's annual African Festival of the Arts and Africa International House. I'm Richard Steele.
Chicagoland, in closing, formed to achieve altruism, compassion, and tolerance, the FACT organization would like to thank our very special guests, Pam Morris Walton and Patricia Andrews Keenan, for joining us today on Building Communities and Strengthening Nations. And we'd like to encourage you to please come out this weekend to the African Festival of the Arts. Always remember, we are here to help promote exemplary public service and volunteerism. Please join us next week on this same station for what promises to be an excellent program of lively conversation. Peace and blessings to you and your loved ones. Bye now.